Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Amen. So tonight we're going to continue our teaching, and we are beginning talking about the distinguishing marks of the apostolic church. I want to read a verse of scripture, and we are going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. Okay? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Okay, and so tonight, really, what our teaching is going to focus on tonight is that ministry of the apostolic church and the purpose of us having apostles in the ministry. Now, I know that a lot of people, they have ministries and there's they just have pastors in their churches and they'll have bishops over their churches. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to focus, not because we're trying to come against what somebody else's order is and what the set order is for someone else's ministry, but what we're going to deal with tonight is the fact that God has set an order for his house, and we have allowed the church world and the systems of this world to come in and to influence us in the way that God would have us to run the church, or the way that God will have his church set up. And even as we read here in Ephesians chapter 2, this here is Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church, and he's explaining to them God's foundation for the church. And the Bible is telling us that in this verse that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Okay, and so that whole body, the whole ministry, so every church should be built upon that particular foundation, which is the teachings of the apostles and the prophets and the things that Christ have left here for the church. Okay, and in our teaching tonight, the distinguishing marks of the apostolic church, we're going to talk about some of the things that make an apostolic ministry, a true apostolic ministry, different from your run-of-the-mill church. And as I said, it's not because we are trying to, or that my aim is to try to come against what other people teach or what other people believe, but we're going to stick with the scripture and we're going to see what the Bible says. And I believe that we are in a period of time where God is restoring the church to the teachings that were first delivered to the saints. God is restoring us back to that place where we are receiving the things that he has originally left for the church, and we have laid those things aside because of the fact that we follow what the church world has left for us. Okay, so first of all, I want to talk about the fact that when we're talking about apostolic, and we talk about the apostolic church, we're not talking about a denominational issue. We're not talking about, like we're saying, Baptist or Methodist, Episcopalian or whatever. We're not talking about a denomination. We're talking about a church that believes and is flowing and is walking in the things of God. We are talking about apostolic in demonstration. We're talking about demonstrating the things that the book of Acts talks about. We're talking about walking in the power and the authority that Jesus left for his church to walk in. And it's important that we be able to understand that God has a plan for his church, and he has left a pattern for his church, and he wants us to follow that pattern that he has left for his church. Okay? Now, I want to give you a definition of what an apostle is, because some people think that an apostle is the same thing as a bishop. A bishop is more or less a what you would call a secretarial type of position. It is more or less a position that is really, it's a Greek word, actually, that stood for a church elder. In the church, in the New Testament, you look back and you see in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and Titus 1 and 7, or 1 Peter, you'll see that the same word that was given for a bishop is the same word that is used for a church elder, okay? Bishops are not necessarily apostles, okay? But apostles can be bishops, if you understand what I'm saying, okay? So just because a person is a bishop and is in an overseer or an elder type position does not necessarily mean that they are an apostle, okay? But an apostle can be more than likely when you have someone who is an apostle and they have oversight over other ministries, or they are in an administrative type of capacity. A person can be, you know, either one. But I want to make a distinguishing mark to make sure that we understand that just because a person calls themselves a bishop does not necessarily mean that they are an apostle. Okay. Now, when we're talking about what an apostle is, we understand through the scripture that an apostle is a messenger who has been commissioned by the Lord, okay? He's not sent by the church. He is not sent, he does not go before a board and nobody votes him in. An apostle, it has been sent by God. He is a sent one, or she is a sent one, because a woman can be an apostle. And for those people who have questions about women apostles, they need to go into Romans, the 16th chapter, and read in Romans, and you will see where the scripture gives clear mention of Junia, and Junia is a woman's name who was named among the apostles. So that signs and seals that, and, you know, there's no question that they are women apostles. Okay, now, back to the definition of what an apostle is. An apostle is a person who has been commissioned of the Lord. They are given, and the difference between an apostle and let's just say any other of the fivefold gifts in the body is the authority that the apostle walks in. The authority that the apostle walks in is that undiscretionary power that has been given by God. It is like when the Bible talks about Jesus. Jesus was as the chief apostle of our souls. And we understand that he walked the earth and he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him without measure. And that's what the scripture says. And when we talk about having the Spirit upon him without measure, meaning it was undiscretionary. God just poured out his Spirit and allowed Christ to walk under that mantle of God without any measure. There was not just an ounce of grace on him, there was abounding grace upon him. And likewise, with apostles, you will find that God has placed an abounding grace upon them so that they are able to walk in the things of God and are able to perform miracles where some people may not be able to do, you know, those same miracles. Some people may not, and I'm not saying that just because you're not an apostle, you cannot raise the dead. I'm not saying that because you're an apostle, you're not an apostle, you cannot heal the sick. But what I am talking about is having a measure of authority upon your life, okay, that power that God has given you, that authority is over territories, that authority is over principalities, you know, and over the powers which God has given those apostles to rule, okay, because apostles are territorial. God gives areas to apostles. When an apostle moves into an area, there should be change in that area. When an apostle comes into a region, there should be some form of sign to others that there is an apostolic ministry in the midst because of the demonstration of the power of God that goes forth as that ministry is present, okay? And that is the difference, okay? The apostles are warriors of the Lord. They are, in a sense, God's governors in the earth, okay? And you'll see that even as you read in the epistles, and even as you read in the book of Acts, you'll see that the authority that was given to them was not just, you know, over people, but over it was over regions. When those apostles went into those regions, the Bible tells us when we read in the book of Acts that they turned the world upside down. Amen. And so that's the kind of ministry that we need. We need people walking in this anointing so that we can turn our worlds upside down. Okay, when we look in the book of Acts and you read in the 13th chapter, we'll see that that power and that demonstration that is, you know, not just in that book, but throughout the whole chapter is because of those apostles that were walking under the power and walking under the authority of God. And so this is why in this hour that we live in, we're thanking God. And we need the power of the gift of the apostle to be in our midst. Okay. Now, as I said, we are looking at toward the end of our manuals, distinguishing marks of the apostolic church. Okay. We know we need something more than just a shout and a dance. We need somebody that's going to come in with some power, that's not afraid to stand against principalities and powers and rules of the darkness of this world. We need somebody that's got more than just power with man. We need somebody that's got power with God and power over territories and power over regions, power over principalities, over ruling spirits, and understands, and, you know, somebody who understands the power that is upon their life. This is what we need in this hour, okay? Now, the Word of God declares in Hosea 6 and 3, in the latter portion of Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth, okay? And I'm just going to read some from our manual. We are on the verge of a new wave of God's glory that will flow across the earth. And you'll see that as you read Habakkuk 2 and 14. A divine realignment is coming forth in the church for the strategic placement of God's people and to fulfill God's purpose. The very foundations of church as we know it are being shaken by God even now to remove those things that are not rooted and grounded in Him, Jesus Christ. And so the purpose that all of this has to be rooted up is because we have followed the route of the Catholic Church. We have allowed the church world to tell us what is God's way and how God desires to have things set up. And because we have followed that, we have lost the power of God. Because we have followed what the world has set in place and not what God has set in place, we have lost the power and the anointing that comes with the call of God that is upon our life, okay? And this is the thing that is just so very important, and that is that we have to understand that every call that we have upon our life, gift that Christ has placed in the church, okay, comes, those positions in the spirit come with power and authority. Okay, not because somebody ordained us, but those positions come with power and authority because Christ placed those gifts in the church. Okay, all right, and so we know that when we have apostles, these apostles with these ministries are going to transcend colors. They're going to transcend those barriers. For it's not going to be a black church, it's not going to be a white church, it's going to be God's church. Amen. We're going to see, amen, true non-denominational ministry, ministry that is based upon the Word of God, ministry that's going to flow in the things of God, ministry that's going to follow the pattern of God. This is what we need, all right? And this is why the ministry of the apostle is so, so needed, okay? Now, we can't fight against this thing that we call apostolic ministry just because we don't understand it. What we need to do is get our Bibles, and we need to begin to read what the Word of God says, all right, so that we can get a better understanding of what God is talking about. Okay, so with the emergence of God's apostles and prophets, God's government is going to be established, and the spirit of the apostolic is going to be released within the local churches universally in every part of the world. okay? And the apostolic church will arise. And when that apostolic church arises, there's going to be unity in the body of Christ, okay? And that is the destiny for the church. The destiny for the church is that we would come into unity, okay? All right, and so when we look at the apostolic church, it's not going to be like, you know, everybody else's church. All right, it is going to be the foundation that Christ have left. What are those distinguishing marks that Christ left in the church? Okay, we are going to begin to see the true love. We're going to begin to see the spirit of revelation. We're going to see unity, which is what we just said already. We're going to see the spirit of wisdom flowing. We're going to see the power of God, and we're going to see demonstration. We're going to begin to see signs and wonders, okay? And that is God's desire for his church, that we will be able to be revived, that we'll be restored, that we'll be refreshed, and that we will be established on the true foundation and do the true work of the ministry that Christ has left for us, okay? The apostolic church will rest in the finished work of Christ and understand the mystery of the Father's grace. God is love, and his people will walk in love toward all men. And just because we walk in love does not mean we're not going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the truth. Apostles are going to preach the truth. Amen. There are going to be apostolic people who are preaching the truth, and they're not going to back down because somebody gets upset or because somebody don't want to hear the word. Amen. Or because somebody wants to hold back their offering. No, it's not going to be like that. They're going to have people. This apostolic move is bringing forth a people who is not afraid to preach God's word and to preach the truth of God's word, no matter what the cost. Okay? John 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The church is not going to be contained just a four wall. We're going to see a ministry that is not afraid or ashamed to come out into the streets, and not just out into the streets, but also into the workplace, amen, and into the marketplace, and begin to declare the truth of God's word. Somebody's got to, amen, on their jobs, be able to go on their jobs and preach the truth of God's word on their job, and not be afraid to preach just because you at your job. Yeah, we know you got to work. You got to, you know, obey the laws of your job. And I'm not talking about being unseemly, but God is going to give us strategy to reach people, because it's about reaching souls. Amen. And it's about preaching the gospel, and it's about doing the work of the ministry that God has set us in the earth to do. Okay? We want to be able to be the church that God has called us to be, reflecting the glory of God and manifesting his goodness to this world. That's what we need to be able to do. And when we do that, the Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. If we manifest the goodness of God, it's going to lead men to repentance. People will be saved because they see the goodness of God and they see the hand of God upon our life. Okay? And the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 20 that the whole creation is groaning and travailing until now. The whole creation is groaning and travailing until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right? And so the sons of God, they must come forth. This is what we need to do. Okay? We need to come forth. This ministry must come forth. Okay? Now let's talk about the ministry of the apostle and the spirit of the apostolic. There are two aspects of the apostolic that I'm going to deal with real quick. Number one who is called and functions as an apostle. That's the first aspect of the apostolic. And number two, the apostolic spirit that the Lord releases. There is a spirit that is released for apostolic ministry. There is the one who walks and functions as an apostle, and then there is that spirit of the apostolic. And again, we said that the apostle is that one who has been sent by God, okay, divinely sent by God, not voted in, okay? You can't fire God's man, okay? You have some churches where they can vote the pastor in and whatever. Well, you can't vote in God's man and fire him when you don't like his message or because he doesn't do what you want him to do. An apostle is God's man or God's woman and is sent in to do a work for the Lord. amen, in a region, not just in that local body, but in that region. So if they're an, if there's an apostle and that apostle has been sent to the Orlando area, there is that, that region of in Orlando should reflect that apostolic ministry that has been placed in that region. There should be some kind of manifestation that God has sent a man of God or a woman of God into that region. And the reason why we have not seen that in times past is because we're not understanding, number one, that mantle of the apostle. And then again, we have to be able to receive that ministry. And knowing that God is restoring this role and he's restoring this office, we got to be open to it. Okay? We have to be open to it. All right? There's going to be a challenge of that old, you know, that old wineskin, that old thing that we've been doing, okay, as God begins to reveal the new. And this new is really not new, but it's new to us. But it's in the Word. But because we have rejected it for so long, we have not been able to receive what God has. So to us, it's a new wineskin. To us, it's a new message. It's a new move of God because we got accustomed to the way that the church world had told us we were supposed to do things. And so there had to come a repositioning in the spirit, okay, so that we could get in alignment with God and receive restructuring so that God could bring his order into his house. Okay, and so we needed that. And as God is restructuring and reordering, okay, and realigning us, we have to cooperate with God and allow him to do his will in our churches, okay? All believers have resident within them the anointing of Christ. Therefore, all believers should, number one, have a heart to reach to the uttermost. They should hear God and speak for him. They should have a heart to win the lost. They shall hunger for the word and share revelation with others, and they shall have a heart to disciple others, okay? You cannot say that you are a real believer if you don't have a heart for discipling others and seeing other people won to the Lord, okay? And that is, that's one of the marks of a true apostolic ministry, is that there is a, that sending anointing, that anointing that does not just let you sit in the church, you know, because we want to have members. Amen. But we want to equip people and then send them forward to do the work that God has called them to do. And I believe that God is allowing people to get restless in their churches. He's allowing them to get tired of just sitting and hearing the same old thing over and over again. But they want to do what God has called them to do. God, what is it that you want me to do? God, what is it that you have called me to do? You know, and having a hunger to accomplish to the will of God. That is the spirit of that apostolic ministry, okay? All right, and so it's through the ministry of the apostle that God is going to release that spirit. Remember, we said there's two aspects. It's the one who functions as the apostle and that apostolic spirit that the Lord releases. And it's through that ministry of the apostle that God is going to release that spirit of the apostolic into the earth and into the local churches and into the regions, okay? And as God does that, then you will see people connecting together and uniting ministries. And it doesn't mean that you have to come up under that ministry, but it means that you will be able to stay where you are and operate in the house where God has called you to operate, but yet be connected to somebody else so that they could pour into you. Amen, and continue to nurture what God has placed in you so that you can go forth and accomplish fully and be effective in the thing that he's called you to do, okay? So to give further understanding here, just as the prophet, when received, speaks by divine inspiration, cutting through deception and imparting the prophetic spirit, so it is with the ministry of the apostle. A deposit of that gift is made, which will restructure the heart of all believers as well as restructure the foundation of the local church. You cannot come in contact with true apostles and true apostolic ministry and it not change you. There's something about that ministry that causes a shift and causes a change in your spirit. Okay, that's if you have really truly encountered that spirit, okay? Now, I want to talk real quick about signs of apostolic ministry. We talked about those aspects of the apostolic. I want to talk about the signs of apostolic ministries, okay? When you are involved in true apostolic ministry, the gifts, okay, we're talking about the gifts of God, and we have the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. Those are the gifts we're talking about. Those gifts will begin to work together and build the house, okay? What house? The church, the ministry, okay? The house of God. Okay, when we have those ministries working together, the apostle will come in and establish and strengthen and empower. Because remember, we talk about the even as the apostle speaks and imparts, he deposits a gift. Paul said, "I desire that I might come unto you, that I might leave with you or impart to you some spiritual gift." Okay, that's what the apostle does. The prophet will come in and confirm and identify gifts, bring guidance, and also prophesy, okay, and speak the word of the Lord into the house, okay? The pastor will come and shepherd and care and help build up the church, all right? The teacher will expound on truths, okay, and help to bring spiritual growth. As truth is expounded upon, then that growth comes because understanding comes through that ministry of the teacher. All right, and then also there's the ministry of the evangelist. The evangelist keeps Christ alive before the people, okay? And also works outside of the church to keep outreach going, okay? If we don't understand that Christ is still alive, because you can go around just doing ministry and forget the essence, you know what I'm saying, of the ministry that you've been called to. Just getting wrapped up in doing works, getting wrapped up in ministry and forgetting about the one who called you to ministry. So we need these gifts working together, okay? We need these gifts working together. All right, we're going to talk about an archetype. This is in your book, part two, or I should say chapter two is what it says, to distinguishing marks of the apostolic church, okay? An archetype is a pattern, okay? Webster says it is something to be imitated, a person or thing considered worthy of imitation or copying. It is a model or a plan that is used as a guide. And even Paul talked about that. He says, be a pattern of the believers, a pattern of good works, okay? The Bible tells us to mark the perfect man, and that word mark means to imitate and to copy. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The things that I do for Christ, you do for Christ. Okay, so we're talking about an archetype, all right? And that archetype is a pattern, all right? We are to be imitators of Christ, being transformed by the Spirit of God into his image. The book of Acts reveals a pattern of how the church should function. Number one, souls should be saved. Number two, we all should be continuing steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. If you don't know what the apostles' doctrine is, then you need to get in the Word and find out what it is. Again, we're not talking about any denominational issues. We are talking about the demonstration of the Spirit of God, that foundation that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter two, verses 19 through 22, where we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being that chief cornerstone, okay? The other thing, the other pattern that we should see in the church is we should see breaking of bread. There should be that fellowship. We should be able to commune with each other, okay? And there should be prayer in the house of God. If we don't have no prayer, then we're out of order. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. Amen. And that's in, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. So we have to begin to look at the pattern that has been set. And if we are not following that pattern, we got to get back to the pattern that God has set for his church. Okay? Fear came upon all, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. There was unity amongst the believers, and they had all things common. You'll find it in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. The apostolic church is one that has received restored present-day truths and is willing to pay the price to know Christ and allow the Spirit of God to infiltrate the very structure of government in the local church. If you don't want, and if the leaders of your church do not want the way the structure of their church is to be proven, to be tested, to be tried, then there's an issue at hand. We want, you know, anything that we're doing, we want God to show us what is the right way. And if God is not getting the glory, if the Lord is not pleased, then we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it, okay? Those old mindsets, okay, we need to willingly put those things to death, and we need to gain the mind of Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. An apostolic people are willing to lose all to gain Christ. Their desire or our desire is God's desire. God's desire is our desire. Okay, God's heart has got to become our heart. Okay, and if you want to be a true apostolic people and you receive, you know, the ministry of the apostle and the impartation of the Spirit, then you're going to have to, your pursuit has got to be that you want to please God. That's got to be your pursuit. Not trying to please man, but you got to want to please God. That is the only thing that matters, is pleasing God. And we know that there's just no way that we're going to be able to please man all the time, okay? Because somebody's going to be mad, you know what I'm saying, when you're trying to please everybody. So let's just set our heart to please God from the beginning, amen, and just let's just please God. And if folks get mad, you know, along the way, we just keep them in prayer. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. Amen. All right. All right. The next thing here is, okay, you got to understand that when we start talking about apostolic ministry cuts to the core, okay? We need the ministry of the knife, okay? This is a generation that does not love truth, does not want to embrace truth, does not want to hear truth, doesn't want to be bothered with the truth. We need the ministry of the knife, okay? We need, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, soul and flesh. You got to understand soul and spirit. We need to divide asunder between soul and spirit. There is the will of the soul, that soulless realm, and then there's the will of the flesh. Okay? Our flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and we need to bring our flesh subject. Our spirit needs to be able to soar in the heights of God, and the only way we're going to do that is we got to get this soul under control. And you're not going to be able to get your soul in line with the things of God if you don't let that word cut and divide asunder, bring division between, you know what I'm saying, what is the soulish realm and what isn't in the soulish realm. We need to let God bring division so that he can show us what spirit we are really and truly operating in. We need to be able to hear the truth of his word, amen, and not worry about, well, you know, this is really what I want to do, and that's not what I want to do. We got to be willing to give up what we want so that God can get the glory. We got to be willing, amen, to be honest with ourselves and look at where we are and let God deal with us. But the thing about it is we love our flesh, and we don't want our flesh to be cut. We don't want our flesh to be touched. We don't want nobody, you know what I'm saying, messing with our flesh, because we just love our flesh. We pet our flesh. We encourage our flesh. But we need the ministry of the knife to come in and take control so that we can get that stuff in line. We need the word of God to come in and bring a division and show us what is not of God and what is of God. Okay? And so this is what we need to do. All right? We need to be able to embrace this present truth. We need to be able to receive when that word comes and not resist the word, not always want to fight the word, not always want to have the last say, but be able to receive the word of God for what it is and accept the truth. When that truth hits us, we need to be able to receive that truth
amen, and say, all right, God, I see my flesh, I see myself, and I need to acknowledge that I see the mess that I'm in, and I need to get myself together.
This is what apostolic ministry will do, okay? Apostolic ministry will show you, amen, where your flesh is and where your spirit is, okay? All right, chapter 3. The church that received the apostle cannot remain the same and will deviate from what is termed as normal, and to many will appear as abnormal. The apostolic church will no longer fit the predetermined mold of religion and tradition. And that is God's honest truth. We need to get away from all of this religion and all of this traditional stuff. Okay? You have to be able to receive. You have to be able to receive the truth, and you got to be able to walk in this truth. And you got to begin to look at what's religious, what is tradition, and see, does it line up with the Word of God? And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you got to let it go. Okay? Full of faith in God and believing that all things are possible. Apostolic believers will venture out into doing as Jesus commanded in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In this hour, this is the ministry that we need. This is the ministry that we need, more than just being able to have fine speech, more than just being able to have, you know, swelling words. We need to have some power behind what we're saying. And if you're going to have power behind what you're saying, then you need to be open to this apostolic ministry, this ministry that Christ have left for the church. Okay? All right, the apostolic church will be unpredictable and full of spontaneity. The Spirit of God is bringing transition that will offend many. For this great move of God is not based on theology or opinions. It's not based on organizational doctrine or the traditions of man, but it's based on the sovereign will of God. Luke 1 and 17 says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And that's what we need to see. We need to see a people that is prepared to meet the Lord when he comes back. And the reason why some people are not prepared, they're not ready, because they just want to be religious and they just want to stick with tradition. But I don't want to just stick with tradition, okay? I want to stick with the Word of God. Okay? All right. Now, chapter 4, the apostolic ministry is adaptable and accommodating. All right? The apostolic church will become adaptable and accommodating to their communities. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 9 and 23, "I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Jesus said in Luke 4, 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." There must be a preaching. Okay, there must be a preaching, and this is, you know, if you have questions about why there are no miracles because we're not preaching. Some people are not preaching. I won't say we aren't, because I know some of us, especially us on the line, some of us on this line, we preach the truth, okay? But you have some who want to preach feel-good messages. Okay, they want to preach, you know what I'm saying? They want to preach something that just feels good, you know, and they always want to, you know, like now we got people that come on the line and want to try to debate, but you don't need to debate. You need to get this word. And if you don't believe the truth of God's word and you want to reject the word, then this message is not for you if you want to reject the word. But if you want to receive, if you want to be open to receive the truth, then you need to be open to receive the truth. You don't need to debate against the truth, but you need to begin to open yourself up to this truth and receive what God has for you. You need to be able to, amen, receive what the truth of God's word is. You need to begin to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's what you need to begin to do, okay? All right, now, we want to talk about adaptability. Okay,
That is going to be the mark of an apostolic believer. They're going to be able to become a servant. They're going to be able to be submissive and obedient to God's voice. Okay, and if you can't be submissive and you can't be obedient, then this is not the walk for you. You need to be able to get that flesh. That's what we were talking about earlier, about letting that word hit your spirit so that you can hear the truth of God's word. And when you hear the truth and it convicts your heart that you are willing, amen, you are willing to receive that correction and willing to turn yourself around and say, God, I hear your word. I hear your word, and I receive your truth. Amen. And that's the thing. We got to be willing to submit, willing to become a servant. Amen. That's what we need to be able to do. And if we're not going to be able to be adaptable and be able to admit when we're wrong, amen, not always trying to find a fault in somebody else, but looking at ourselves first, amen, looking at ourselves and examining ourselves to see what it is that is in us, amen, and being able to say, okay, God, what is it in me that's not pleasing to you? What is it in me, God, that is not willing to serve? What is it in me, oh God, that you know, that's not submitted and it's not obedient to your voice? God, I need you to help me, God, amen. And if we begin to do that, then we will begin to, you know, we'll begin to receive what God has for us. Amen. But the thing about it is we don't want to receive it. We don't want to receive it because we don't want nobody to tell us what to do, because we feel like, you know what I'm saying, that we know everything. And we have to be willing to understand that we don't know everything. There's times where we miss it. There are times, amen, where, amen, we get off course. And we got to be willing to acknowledge that. And if we're not willing to acknowledge that, then we miss the plan of God for our life. Okay? So we must be adaptable. Okay? Jesus was mocked. He was ridiculed and rejected by religious leaders because he mingled with sinners. Okay? And we're not labeled like that. Nobody really labels Christians for, you know, for hanging out with sinners, because we don't really see, you know, sometimes nowadays we don't see saints trying to reach out to the sinners. You know, nowadays folks, you don't even know who's a Christian, who's not a Christian. You got folks saying that they're Christians and they don't even go to church. They don't even have a relationship with God. And so now you gotta see the wheat and the tare growing together and wait for the Lord to bring difference between the two. All right, chapter 5. The apostolic church is advancing, is accelerating, it is aggressive, it is audacious, and is armored. The apostolic church will cause the local church to advance into its destiny and will release understanding, it will release wisdom, it will release revelation, and it will release faith. Okay, this will bring vision to believers, which will birth God's purpose. We got to have God's purpose birthed in us. You know, we go to school and we have all these other things birthed in us, but we got to have God's purpose birthed into our life. Okay, we need God's vision. We need to be united in the spirit of the apostolic so that these local churches will be able to thrust into the darkness and make an advancement for the kingdom of God. We need to be able to advance for the kingdom of God. This is what we need to do. Not standing still, not marking time, but advancing the kingdom of God. There should be an excellent spirit, okay, that drives believers forward at a rapid pace. You'll see that in Proverbs 17:27. Okay, apostolic people are risk takers. They are willing to lose all things and win Christ. And you'll see that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Okay? Another mark of the apostolic spirit is aggressiveness. They will not give up. They will not back down. They will not give in, but they will challenge error. They will confront the enemy. They will subdue and take dominion. Hallelujah. Amen. The apostolic church, amen, is not going to just stand there, amen, and be no sissified church, but this is going to be a church full of power. And this is what we got to position ourselves for, by getting into prayer, by fasting, by reading the word of God and believing God's word. This is what we must do. Okay, the apostolic church is fully armored. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 talks about the armor of the believer. And they know what, that God has given them the ability and the strategy to conquer the strongholds of the enemy in their communities, in their regions, and in their states. God's wisdom is upon them, and they are guided by the Spirit of God. This is the people that we need. We need to see people that are guided by the Spirit of God. We need to see a people that is moving, knowing that they are covered by the armor of God and not willing to, you know what I'm saying, take a back seat to the enemy. All right? Chapter 6 talks about the authority of the apostolic church. Apostolic churches will demonstrate new levels of kingdom authority in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. They'll be known in the demonic realm. All right? And they will not be threatened by the forces of the enemy. They're not going to back down from no devil. Okay? We need to be able to walk in revelation of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And by faith, we should be able to reach into the heavenly realm and pull down the manifestations of God into the earth realm. This is what we need in this hour. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is where we got to go. We got to begin to pray, God, give us what Paul had, that we will walk in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God, let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you rest upon us. God, let demonstration, oh God, of kingdom authority, oh God, rest upon us. Father, anoint us, God, that we would not be threatened by any forces of evil. God, give us the strength, God, that even in the realm of the of demons, they would know who we are because we walk under your authority and under your anointing. Those are the kind of prayers we need to be praying. Amen. And not just trying to win people with head knowledge, but winning them because the power of God is present. Because the power of God is present. The authority of the apostolic is one based out of responsibility and relationship. Responsibility and relationship. The pastor of an apostolic church is trusted and his leadership is respected as God's authority. These pastors are true shepherds over their flocks. They are loving, they are protecting, yet they are encouraging freedom to function in your gifts and your callings. It is important that you have the ability to function in your gift that God has anointed you to function in. It is important that you be able to flow in the things of God as God has anointed you to flow in. It's important that you be able to do that. Amen. Not because you're trying to take over the church, not because you're trying to have a big name, but because that this is what the Lord has called you to do. You should be ready and able to flow in the things of God that the Lord has placed upon you. Okay? Relationships that we're talking about, these relationships that we're talking about, they are based on present day truths. Okay? What present day truth? Present day truths that will bring nurturing, that will equip you, that will activate you, that will nurture you, meaning help to bring growth to your life, that will equip you, it's going to train you. Amen. And it's going to activate you. It's going to push you forward into your destiny so that you accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. Okay? Amen. This is the hour that we begin to accomplish the things that the Lord has placed upon our hearts. No longer do we need to just be pew sitters. No longer do we need to just be people who go to church on Sunday and Friday and Wednesday and whatever other days that the church is open. But we got to be willing, amen, that we get into our prayer closets and that we will hear from God. Amen. And when we hear from God, that we come out of our closet with an assignment. And that we will walk in the fullness of our assignment. Amen. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The final thing that I want to talk about on tonight is the fact that the apostolic church is admonishing. The apostolic spirit will bring a new level of admonishment. As a father is responsible for the raising of a child, bringing correction and discipline that is administered to that child in a loving manner, so shall it be in apostolic ministries, okay? It will be that way among God's ordained leadership, that we will be able to receive admonition from those who
who care for us and who love for us in the spirit of humility and in the spirit of love. Okay, this is the relationship. This is the relationship. Not just coming to church or somebody preaching to us and asking us for money. Amen. But we're coming to church. We're receiving from God. God is pouring into us. Amen. He has placed leaders over us that will pour into us, that will nurture us, that will equip us, that will activate us and push us forward into the things of God, that will correct us and discipline us in love, not trying to kill us, not browbeating us with the word, not bashing us from the pulpit, amen, but showing loving fatherly and motherly love and correction, amen, and training us up, rooted and grounded in love, like the Bible says. Amen. Firmly established in love, knowing that God is for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Believers who have embraced the apostolic spirit will be teachable and will be willing to submit to authority. And see, that's not a dangerous thing. And, you know, that's the thing we have to be able to understand and not fear submission, not fear someone teaching and pouring into us. Amen. That's not a bad thing. Amen. But we need to be willing to be open to God's pouring and to God's teaching, to God's training. Amen. We are commanded to esteem very highly in love those that are over us in the Lord and those who admonish us, caring for the well-being of our souls. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. So it's the will of God that we do this. And then also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that we are to admonish one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. We are to love our brethren enough to lovingly rebuke them if we see them in error or in danger. Not tear down, not destroy, but love and protect and upbuild, uplift them, amen, provoking one another to righteousness and good works. For that is the word of God, amen. And we'll find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We want to be the church that God has called us to be in this hour. We want to be the people that God has anointed us to be. I don't care who don't believe it. I don't care who says there's no such thing as apostles. Amen. All they need to do is go back to the scripture and read in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says, till we all come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Amen. We have got to grow up in him. And when we become mature and we're flowing in those things of God, then we will know that, amen, the work of the apostle is finished. Then we will know that the work of the prophet and the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher is finished. But until that time, amen, until we grow up into him, amen, in all things, then we know we need still that ministry, those ministry of the fivefold gifts. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I praise you, God, for this first portion of this teaching, oh God, about, oh God, apostolic ministry. And Father, I thank you, God, even for those, amen, God, that have been on the line on tonight that listened in, Lord, some who couldn't stay. Father, even those who came in and were typing on the screen, oh God, and those who wanted to be able to argue, oh God, over your word, I thank you, God, for your word, that your word is truth, God, and there's no error in your word. And Father, I just bless you, oh God, for all that you are doing and all, oh God, that you have allowed to take place tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you, God, that your word changes us, that your word transforms our thinking, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for this venue, God, for us being able to have this teaching on tonight. And I pray, God, that those who listen, oh God, to the recording, oh God, that they will be strengthened, that they will be encouraged, God, that they will be uplifted, Father, that they will feel themselves being equipped, oh God, from your word. And we just give you honor and thanksgiving. We magnify you for these things even now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for the word on tonight. Amen. 1 second. A minute. I'm trying to stop the recording. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Amen. I think it's still taping. Praise the Lord. 1 second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.